Please open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? 2 Samuel 22. Begin reading at verse 29. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. By you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer, and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. And I have destroyed them and wounded them, so they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trod them like dirt in the streets, and I spread them out. You have also delivered me from the strivings of my people. You have kept me as the head of the nations. As a people I have not known shall serve me. The foreigners submit to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent men. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing. You may be seated. The words of John Newton's hymn, Amazing Grace, are familiar to us. Newton writes in that hymn, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far. His grace will lead me home. David could identify with the words of John Newton, or Newton could identify with the words of David in this psalm that we find in 2 Samuel 22. For those of you who are visiting, 2 Samuel 22 is reproduced in Psalm 18. This is a song of David. It is a song of praise to God for God's deliverance of David from the hands of all his enemies. It was written late in David's life. And so this, as it were, is David's testimony to God's faithfulness to him all the days of his life. He calls God in the first few verses of this hymn his Savior, his rock, his fortress, his refuge. He tells us what God is to him personally. Then in the verses that follow, he tells us that when he cried out to God in his distress, that God heard his prayers and answered him and took action on his behalf to deliver him from all his enemies, out of the hand of all his enemies. Enemies that were too strong for him, enemies that surely would have overpowered him, enemies that hated him and sought his death. David was able to overcome because God was the one who delivered him out of all their threats and delivered him out of their hands, so that though they sought his life, they were not able to take his life. God brought him through many difficulties, through troubled waters and out of very difficult times. And God, David said, rewarded me because he delighted in me. And that he rewarded David because of David's righteousness. And again, the righteousness and the freedom from iniquity that David claims is not a claim to sinless perfection. David knows his sins, but David, in relationship to his enemies, has acted in a righteous manner and has done what is right in the sight of God in relationship to those enemies, and therefore could say that God has indeed rewarded him according to his righteousness and found no iniquity in him in relationship to those who hated him and sought his life. Then he tells us, and these are the verses that we looked at last week in verses 26 through 28, that with the merciful, God will show himself merciful. With the blameless man, God will show himself blameless. With the pure, God will show himself pure. That is, God responds to us in the way that we respond to others. God treats us in the same way that we treat them. If we treat others with mercy, then we can expect mercy from God. If we in our behavior are righteous, God will be righteous in his behavior toward us. And then we read that with the devious or with the twisted, you will show yourself twisted. In other words, God will show himself to be the one who is in opposition to those who will not submit to him, to those who will not walk on his path, to those who stray from his ways, and those who despise his people and seek to persecute them. They will receive from God that which is due them because of their wickedness and the way that they live. Now we come in our study this afternoon to verse 29. And there David acknowledges that God is his lamp. God is the one who enlightens David's darkness. In all the dark circumstances of David's life, when there seemed to be no way of escape from his enemies, God lit the way, and David was able to escape from them. As David was going through life, as David was being pursued by others, as David went into battle, we constantly learn that David is one who sought the Lord's wisdom in the Lord's word. It was his lamp. It was that which shone on his path, which gave him the way out and the way to go. It was also his comfort. And isn't that what light often is? You take a little child, you put them to bed at night, and they start to cry, and they are afraid. Why? What are they afraid of? They're afraid of darkness. And so what do to comfort them? Well, you put a nightlight in their room, so that the room is not completely dark. And what does that light do? That light comforts them. And that's what the light of God's Word does to us. It lights our path, and that Word comforts us. In Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist writes, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Throughout David's life, he was given light in his darkness by the Word of God. When David left the cave in Adullam and went to Mizpah of Moab and spoke to the king there, asking the king to take his father and mother and protect them, then we read, "The prophet of God said to David, 'Do not stay in the stronghold. Depart and go to the land of Judah.' So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth." We read in that in 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 5. When David found out that the Philistines attacked the city of Keilah, we read that David inquired of the Lord, asking what he should do. And then we read this, "And the Lord said to David, 'Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah,'" in 1 Samuel 23, verses 1 through 3. When David had the opportunity to take Saul's life, he declined, saying that he would not lift his hand against the Lord's anointed. And he would not do that, because to do that would be to go against the Word of God. To do that would be to take something that God said belonged to him, and that is vengeance upon his enemies. And so David was guided by the Word of God. The Word was a lamp to his feet. And we find that again in relationship to David's conflict with that wicked man named Nabal. You remember that because of Nabal's treatment of David's servants, David was going to seek him out to take his life and was intercepted by Nabal's wife Abigail. And what did she do? She reminded David of the Word of God, that the Word of God said that David would be king, and it would be unbecoming of the king to take the life of her wicked husband. And you might remember also on that one occasion, the first occasion when David had an opportunity to take Saul's life, Saul himself acknowledged that God said that David would be king. Where did God say that? God said that in 1 Samuel 16, when Samuel anointed David king. Do you suppose that Samuel anointed David and David didn't know what that anointing was all about? No, David knew that he was being anointed to be the coming king in Israel. And so that anointing was, if you will, God's promise to David that he would be king. And it is on the rock of the Word of God that David stood in difficult times, bolstering his faith by the Word of God, in remembrance of what God had said in his anointing, that he would be king. And so we find also in relationship to David that when Jonathan came to David in the wilderness, it says that David, in his distress, that Jonathan encouraged him in the Lord and encouraged David by the Word of the Lord. So David, throughout his life, looked to the Word of God to be the lamp for his feet. He sought the Word of God for guidance. And let me ask you this. Is that what you do? Is that what I do? When I am faced with difficulties, when I am perplexed, when I have troubles and problems, where do I turn? Do I turn to the Word of God? And do I find there that God's Word is a lamp to my feet, that God guides me by that light, and in that light is my comfort? That was David's comfort. God was the one who was leading David by his word. Turn with me to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. A miktam of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. Now, listen to the psalm. Be merciful to me, O God, for a man would swallow me up, fighting all day. He oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his what? Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All the days they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape my iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. You remember my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God, I will praise his word. How did David know that God was for him? He knew that because of the word of God. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So there David praises God and the direction that God has given him in his word. And it is upon that word that David depends. And it is to that word that David runs when he is afraid. And it is from that word that David draws encouragement and comfort. Indeed, the word of God is a light to his feet. David also says in verse 31, the word of the Lord is proven. Now the word translated proven can also and is in some translations translated tested. And that reminds us of metal. Metal is tested by being heated into liquid form that it might be freed from impurities. As those impurities come to the top and then are skimmed off, so that the metal that remains is absolutely pure. It is without any impurity. And what David is saying here is that God's word is absolutely free from impurity. It is a flawless guide to safety and salvation. All of God's promises are certain, infallible truths. The word of God is inerrant and infallible. Therefore, it is the ultimate and final authority in our faith and in our practice. It is an infallible, trustworthy guide for God's people. And David confesses that, not just because he knows that in the abstract, but because he knows that by experience. In David's experience, the word of God has never failed him. And it has never failed him because the God of the word is himself incapable of error, is himself trustworthy, is himself faithful, is himself truth. Is that the word of God to you? If you know, not just by conviction, but by experience, that the word of God is trustworthy, that it's reliable, that it is a flawless and perfect guide. And if you don't know that, why don't you know that? Haven't you ever tested it out for yourself to find that it is what it claims to be? A flawless and perfect lamp for your feet. I wonder sometimes, and I wonder this about myself, if we really believe in practice that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. According to Psalm 1, the man who is blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That man shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Meditate upon the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God so that the Word of God will be readily available to you. Even if you do not have a copy of God's Word with you, it can still be your lamp. It can still be your comfort. It can still be your flawless guide, because that Word has taken root in your heart. In this psalm, this song of David, he praises God for who God is personally to David. In verses 2 through 3, in verses 5 through 19, David praises God for answering his prayer when in his distress he called upon God. And in these verses he tells us of what God has done for him. When he cried out to God, God responded, and using ideas found in the Exodus and in Joshua, God dramatically and powerfully delivered David from all his foes. Enemies that hated him and were too strong for him, from which he could not free himself, God delivered him from. Beginning in verse 30 and going through verse 37, David praises God for what God enables David to do with the strength that God had given him. God enabled David to persevere through difficult times. God enabled David to be faithful in distress. God enabled David to be triumphant over his enemies. God enabled his servant to do great things. God enabled David by empowering David to do extraordinary things. David writes, "For by you I could run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend the bow of bronze. You enlarge my path and under me, so my feet do not slip." Another verse, another translation translates verse 37, "You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn." Interspersed with these acknowledgments are the verses that say that God is his rock, that place of stability, that place which is a sure foundation, that place of security. That God is his rock, God is his strength, verse 33, and his shield, verse 36. And by God's strength and enabling, David was able to do some pretty miraculous things. The first miraculous thing was his defeat of the Philistine giant Goliath. The Philistine. Yeah, not a little Filipino, a big Filipino. It's old and it's been a long day. And David did that when David was a teenager. He was going up against a man who was about twice his size. He was going up against a giant who was well equipped, who was a seasoned veteran in hand-to-hand combat, and the odds that David would defeat Goliath were not good. And yet David goes out in the name of the Lord, in the strength of the Lord, with his little slingshot and no armor and a few stones. And he puts one of those stones in that sling and he throws it at the giant, and God directs that stone to just the right place on the forehead of the giant, and down he goes. And David cuts off his head. How did he have victory? God enabled him. God strengthened him so that he was able to defeat the Philistine giant. As David went up in battle against the Philistines, as David went against the Amalekites, as David went against the Amorites, as David went against the Moabites, guess how many battles David lost? I don't read of any. Why? Because God was with him. God was strengthening him. God was enabling him to exceed. To succeed. There we go. Again, I'm old and it's getting late. God enabled David to do some things that David would not have been able to do without the strength that God was able to give him. Now, what David writes in those verses can be summed up as something Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I see that occasionally on the sneakers of professional and college basketball players, or on the cleats of football players. And I can remember that one of my kids had a poster of an athlete hanging on their wall in their bedroom. And the caption was, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It gives the impression that I can throw a baseball hard because of Christ who strengthens me. I can swim and be victorious because of Christ. That's not what he's talking about there. In the context, David says that he has learned in whatsoever circumstances he is in to be content. How can he be content? In all the various circumstances that Paul found himself in, he could be content. Because Christ strengthened him. And Christ strengthens us so that in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we can be content. What Paul is teaching us in Philippians 4 is that whatever Christ requires of us, he will enable us to do. He can and will enable us to say no to the ungodly and crooked generation that we live in which puts so much pressure on us to conform to its way of speaking, thinking, and behaving. Through Christ, I can say no to temptation. Through Christ, I can mortify sin. Through Christ, I can forgive those who have hurt me. Through Christ, I can refrain from retaliation and vengeance. Through Christ, I can love my enemies and do good to those who hate me and have hurt me. Through Christ, I can endure hardship and trials. Through Christ, I can do everything that He asks of me. And you can do everything that He asks of you. Through Him, we can stand firm and steadfast. Through Him, we can walk in faith and not by sight. I think it was Augustine who said something like this: command what you will and give what you command. I can do all things, not on my own, not in my own strength, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is precisely what David was saying in verses 30 through 37. I can leap over a wall. I can do this. I can do that with my feet, with my hands, with my legs. How can he do all that? Because God was enabling him. In 1988, a tumor appeared on the left arm of Dave Gervecki, a pitcher for the San Francisco Giants. Now, a tumor on an arm would be bad enough for anyone, but would be particularly bad for a pitcher because it appeared on his pitching arm. The tumor was removed, and afterwards, Gervecki was told that they had cut out so much muscle that he would never pitch again. Being a Christian, Gervecki began praying for a miracle, and in August of the next year, he had recovered enough that he was scheduled to pitch. He said before the game, "I don't care what anybody says, this is a miracle." And he began imagining pitching a perfect game and afterwards standing before the cameras and talking about how God had strengthened him and giving God all the glory. But that's not what happened in real life. Instead, in the sixth inning, while he was throwing a fastball, his arm snapped. And I remember seeing that on television, how awful that was. He grabbed his arm and he went down in great pain and agony. He later said that while they were wheeling him off the field, that his mind turned to a conversation that he had had that very day with a close Christian friend who had prayed for God to enable him to succeed, but also reminded him that the true glory of God is never that which shines before the lights of the media, but rather that which exists in the shadows of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, Dave Gervecki's arm had to be amputated. In the many long months that followed, through agonizing treatment and severe pain, Dave Gervecki battled depression and was afraid. But he later talked about how he learned in that situation, in that distressing time, in that dark time in his life, that he learned in that time to really praise the Lord. And in tribulation, he discovered the true power of God that enables us to do all things. Here's what he wrote. What God does through the valleys of life is he shapes and molds us in the image that he wants us to be. He gives us the strength to endure. Dravecki never got to tell the world how God had healed him and performed a miracle for him. Rather, he got to tell the world about the trial and the disappointment of that arm that snapped and was later amputated. And he got to tell them that in his distress, in his darkest hour, that he found by experience that God's grace is sufficient. God enabled him to glorify God in the midst of his darkest times. And it was in that way that God ministered through David Dravecki to so many people who are going through a dark hour in their own experience and in their own life. His testimony was that God is the one who strengthens us to endure through even our darkest hour. And you see, that's what David's testimony is. It is God who enables us to do the things that we think we cannot possibly do in the midst of our darkest hour. How can I go to church? How can I gather with God's people? How can I sing God's praises? How can I give glory to God? I can do that by the strength that he gives me by his Spirit. And by that Spirit, we can do all things. That was David's testimony. And may that be our testimony. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Psalm of David that we find in Psalm 18 and also in 2 Samuel 22. And how in this psalm David exalts the Lord as God. And tonight we look at how you strengthened him and enabled him to do things that seemed impossible, seemed too difficult and too hard. And yet, by that strength that you gave to David, he was able to do some miraculous things. And Father, your strength is not diminished. Your strength is the same. And that strength is available to us as well. And we will be given that strength when in our distress, like David, we cry out to you. We cry out to you in our weakness. We cry out to you in our trials. And we find that you come by your word and you light our path. You comfort us and then you grant to us the strength to endure and persevere. And Father, may our testimony be that of David and that of the Apostle Paul, who both found that through you they were able to do all things. May that be our testimony as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.